This is the Web Strategies Podcast, a program dedicated to the technology and techniques of marketing your business on the internet.
Well, first, thank you for downloading or subscribing to our podcast. And please invite your friends and colleagues to review the Web Strategies Podcast on iTunes. Just type in Web Strategies Podcast and we should come right up. It's really important for us to get reviewed because an act of interest in this podcast on iTunes will exponentially increase listenership. So the more reviews, the higher we rank, the more people will subscribe and so on. So thanks very much in advance. We really appreciate your interest. I'll begin by telling you what the show is not. We have no online courses in business development to sell you. We do not push our seminars. In fact, we don't have any seminars, except in the sense that this podcast is distributing information. But in fact, we're not selling anything. Of course, there's no such thing as a free lunch. So I will say that this podcast does have a business strategy for me personally and for our sponsor, WebTex. We believe that freely giving the same kind of information in this podcast that we give to our consultancy clients will create an interest in perhaps pursuing WebTex as a source for that kind of expertise. We feel like if you have the desire to build your business using not just technology, but a business mind behind it, well, WebTex may be a good vendor for you. Otherwise, this is free, and we hope that you will visit our website at www.webstrategiespodcast.com, offer feedback, comments, ask questions. In future podcasts, we'll devote time to answering any question that will benefit the audience as a whole, and we hope that question comes from you. So the format of the program goes something like this. The opening will be presented by me, usually will be topical, something going on in the world of e-business. The main segment will be an interview with someone who is an expert in their field. And finally, we'll leave you with a web strategy extra, which is some bit of actionable information. It's going to be a tip or a book review, something about Web 2.0. It'll be a parting thought that you can use. All right. So with that said, thank you again. And let's get on with the program. We have an interesting first podcast talking about the difference between performance and return on investment.
The Web Strategies Podcast is sponsored by WebTex, the consulting and e-business solutions firm with a unique combination of strategic thinking, creativity, and technological expertise. WebTex designs and builds powerful and meaningful internet solutions on the web at www.webtex.com. This is the Web Strategies Podcast number one. This is our very first one, and I'm sitting here with the sponsor of the program, the president of the company of the sponsor of the program, Tom Walker, who's the president of WebTex. And first of all, Tom, thank you very much for coming into the studio. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
This being the Web Strategies Podcast, I think one of the things that I have really learned from you and your company is that it's not about design necessarily, and it's not about if it's an e-commerce site or if it's a brochure site, it's about once you build it, then what?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things that we tell people from the very beginning is you can build anything. And one of our jokes is you can build anything. We can build anything you can imagine, but some people's imaginations cost more than others. And imaginations don't necessarily have an end game. But the reality is there's a much more important part of the process. And that is up front, before you ever write the first line of code, before you ever design the first graphic. And that's determining what are we building? Why are we building it? And at the end of the day, what's it going to do for our organization? And unless you can define those very clearly day one, then there's no sense even starting any type of project.
Well, a lot of times what happens is you run into people that, you know, in this day of 2008, here we are in April, more or less. So pretty much anything except for a brand new company or a really, really small company has a website. And frequently I've heard the owners of those websites say, but it's not working. But I think that there's a different approach to things. Once you see a website that's been up for a while and doesn't have the kind of results that the owner of the website is expecting or would like, how would you approach that strategically?
Well, I think the first thing we have to talk, there's really two things we have to talk about first, and one is an understanding of KPIs and what role they play in an online application. And those key performance indicators may be we want to generate more leads, we want to improve our relationship with our vendors, our partners, or we want to increase the overall morale of our employee. We want to do these things, but the important part is defining KPIs, as we call them, key performance indicators, where you can actually measure whether or not it's doing it. And unfortunately, a lot of times the owners and the CEOs or the decision makers, they don't have any data by which to say it is or isn't working. They just say, well, it's not doing anything for us. I'm spending a lot of money. I don't have any measurable results. A lot of times they don't have those measurable results because there was nothing defined to which you would measure those results. But I think backing up even more importantly, where we are in 08, I think a lot of people came out and said, we're gonna put up websites and they're going to generate more business for us, or we're going to put up websites and it's going to lower expenses for us. And all of those things are great initiatives and great reasons to build websites. But I think one of the things that we talk about, and especially when you're defining in the initial phases where you're defining what the project's going to be or you're defining what your key performance indicators are, is what's some basic things that I as a CEO or I as a president of the company or I as an owner, what do I want this site to do for me? And one of the easy kind of baseline things that I tell those executive decision makers, if you will, is look, any online environment, any online application, website, or a web portal or whatever it is, should really accomplish one thing, and that it should be about improving and enhancing relationships. And start there. If it's improving and enhancing relationships with my prospects, with my customers, with my clients, with my vendors, with my employees, whoever it is, I mean, any person that your company interfaces with, the web should do something to improve and enhance that relationship. And we know in business, if we're continually improving and enhancing relationships with all of these people who matter, business is going to do well.
So, I want to go back to the thing that you said there. They were related, but the KPI, the key performance indicators, and talking about improving relationships, because certainly improving relationship would be, depending on how you define it, a key performance indicator. Which ones of the most common indicators, performance indicators, which ones do you think are the most important?
Well, I think, first of all, if we look at who are the most important people or the most important groups, if we look at who are the most important groups with regards to business and successful business, obviously our customers are important and our employees are important. So if we define something that, okay, we are going to do a customer satisfaction survey and we're going to find out if our website has done something or has accomplished something that we can go to our clients and say, have we improved our relationship with you over the past 90 days through some type of customer satisfaction survey? Or if we're finding that maybe the goal is we want to touch twice as many customers in a given period, but we don't want to have to add additional phone support or call center personnel. If you'd say, okay, we want to be able to measure the number of people that we've touched in a given period of time with no measurable increase in staffing, then that's a good key performance indicator. Just touching those customers is important. Same with our employees. Are we communicating on a regular basis with our employees, the company's mission, the company's goals, and are we providing them mechanisms that they feel like they're part of the planning and the implementation and the execution of our strategy to accomplish those goals? If we began to get input from them that is significantly above, and maybe the key performance indicator is I have zero input from my employees on a weekly basis on ways to become more efficient, and after 90 days or 90 days after launching this particular project, now I'm averaging 3 to 5 a week. Well, there's a KPI that I can turn around and show somebody, look, we really have accomplished just improving the relationship and the communication with our employees.
In everything you just described, you're really talking about starting with an end in mind and not just, throwing it up and seeing if it sticks, if you will. So that when you have a website, it's not just because your competitors have a website. You have a website because you want it to do something. You want it to either save you money, make you money, or accomplish some goal internally with processes. What kind of advice would you give to a business owner who has a website, it's not particularly doing anything for them? Where would they just mentally start? Draw a line in the sand for me.
Well, I think what's important To answer that question is, if you go back to a marketing strategy, one of the differences I see is the web is a tool, and it is a tool to execute. It is a tool that is part of a larger set of tools to accomplish or execute a strategy. You don't go to somebody and say, okay, we're going to build a marketing strategy. What do you want it to accomplish? What you sit down is you say, if we were to develop the perfect marketing strategy for you, what would be all of the possible outcomes? And then let's see if we can build a strategy that would really do all that. With the website, for example, one of the first questions we ask to break the shell is, it's not working for me. Okay, what's it not doing? And 90% of the time, well, it's not getting more business for me. And it's the, you know, the silver bullet. If we build a website, they'll come, and then they'll buy everything that we have, and then we'll have to build another website. So like you said, let's list three things. What are the three key items you need for your business to be successful? What are the three cost points in your business? What are the three pain points in your business? Let's see if there's any way that we can leverage the web and the tools that are available to you on the web to ease those pains, lower those costs, or improve those specific points that you're discussing. Once we do that, then we kind of almost always, inevitably, especially with the more sophisticated business owners, have our aha moment where they go, okay, wait a minute, I didn't realize we could do that on the web. I didn't realize that we could make the ordering process easier, not just for our clients buying for us, but for us buying from our vendors or our employees. We can improve HR opportunities and HR costs. We can improve the hiring process. We can improve the subcontracting opportunities and subcontracting processes. So really, it's start with, let's talk about all of the issues with your business, not just what you think is isolated to the web, not just we're going to put up a website and sell more things, or we're going to set up a website to get more business, but let's talk about all of the issues with your business and then leverage a strong e-business consultant, somebody who's been working with the web for many, many years, and then turn around to them and say, of all of these issues, what can be solved on the web, and then begin to define the endpoint from there, not from just let's get more business.
You know, that's a really good point because, in some circumstances, there's going to have to be a shift in process to achieve the goals of the business owner. Sometimes things get built along the way incrementally and they're patched together. And I'm talking about things meaning what software, what office software you're using, what kind of software do you use to do billing. What's the actual piece of paper that you take an order on? And those things over time, I think, tend to get to be chaotic. So one of the things that might be the result of a meeting like the one you just described is that it doesn't involve the web. It involves rethinking some of the process. And then once that process is better defined or redefined to accomplish new goals, taking the kind of technology that a competent e-business company has and having those technologies applied against the processes that need improvement.
It's a great point. And part of the issue here is because people do not know necessarily who to call when they're trying to develop a global e-business strategy. It goes back to the old issue that's been we've been facing in the computer industry for years. If you call a hardware sales guy and say, here's the issues I'm having in my business, he's going to try to solve those with hardware. If you call a person who sells off-the-shelf software, whether it be Microsoft or others, and say, here's the issues I'm facing in my business, they're going to try to solve it with software. You call a typical web designer or web developer and say, here are the issues, they're going to try to solve it using a website. And the problem is when you're talking about global e-business strategy, you need to be talking to somebody who's looking at all of those and developing the appropriate mix of technologies that will both meet your short and long-term IT needs, your short and long-term e-business needs, and your short and long-term kind of budgetary constraints. That's not always easy to do, but it becomes easier to do when you start defining and the objectives and you start setting very specific KPIs. And then if you can measure if you can assign ROI to the KPIs, then even better. And now you're talking about, again, global e-business strategy, not just web or hardware or IT.
Well, what you just said is so critical that I want to just go over it one time so that everyone understands listening to the podcast what KPI versus ROI is. And I think that people in business usually get it. They know what return on investment is. And so when you compared a key performance indicator to a return on investment, How do they come together? What's the intersection there? And how would you like to see it come together so that it gets the best benefit for your client?
Well, it's a great point. The reason that we tend to talk in terms of KPIs instead of ROIs is e-business is an evolving technology. It is an evolving strategy. It's not, you know, pointed in this direction, let it go, and it's going to stay that way for 18 months. Everything's changing on the web specifically. Everything's changing even in the software world right now, with web-based applications becoming more and more prevalent, not just from the website standpoint, but from the office automation standpoint. I mean, we're now beginning to operate in a web-based environment. Every 6 to 7 to 8 months, as you begin to analyze more and more integration of your website or your online application with your business applications, and then how those tie into both your vendors, your suppliers, your clients, and your partners, you have to continually be analyzing that to make sure that we don't need a course correction. And so we'll typically say the point here with KPIs is we are going to analyze KPIs at 30 days, at 90 days, at 120, at 180. We'll define that out of the gate. And the reason we want to do that and look at the KPIs vice ROIs is we have to understand that those are going to change almost daily. And in fact, we know for a fact, I've never had a set of KPIs that we looked at after 120 days and said, yep, everything's perfect, let's keep rolling. They do change. And not to sound catty, but when you're talking about ROI and you're talking about finance folks, they don't like things changing every 30, 90, 120 days. They want to know that we're on track, we're on budget, and everything's great. So KPIs are really a means to ensure that we can say, okay, 36 months out, if we accomplish what we're saying in these key performance indicators, are we expecting to see the ROI that we originally planned on in this project? We're not going to look at ROI at 6 months. We're not going to look at ROI at 12 months. And these numbers are all relative based on the project. But KPIs are those things that we're going to use as business strategists to ensure that we're on the right track towards accomplishing the appropriate ROI.
So they actually, although they're running in tandem, they're parallel lines, because your KPI is measuring some ultimate goal in a way that you can quantify along the way. And because that goal has been established, that is what value the business owner put on that investment in creating the programming that allowed that website to come about. And that is what the return is going to be. If you do this, if you get my vendors to cut out the need for filling out 15 forms, then it's worth X to me. So that's the return on investment. Is that what you were saying?
Yes and no. Yes, it is what I'm saying. But I'll give you an example. We're working with a customer right now who is trying to improve the reporting process for environmental safety and health related incidents at different sites around the country. And right now the process is a problem because it requires, as you said, almost 15 forms, and some are faxed and some are scanned, and a few can be done by email. There's some EDI involved. And the at the end of the year, their roll-up and ensuring that all of these reports have been made appropriately, that OSHA has got their reports, that the Nuclear Regulatory Commission has got their reports, is a very cumbersome process and very cumbersome project. Their investment here is to ensure that they can turn around to both their clients and turn around to the federal regulators and say, here's what we've implemented. We know our reporting process is now accurate. We're very confident in our reporting process, and therefore you can be very confident hiring us, and government, you can be very confident in the information that we're providing to you. Is there a very specific ROI that can be applied to that? I don't know. I mean, maybe the CEO of the company has a very specific ROI, but this is an example where I feel like the KPI is really the driving factor here, and that is we want to reduce the error of this, the error margin that they're currently experiencing of nearly 12% down to less than 0.1%. That's a KPI. Now, in the end, is there going to be a return on investment? Well, absolutely, because the number of staff necessary to do this roll-up at the end of the year is reduced. The amount of paper and investment into the paper and the faxing and all of the scanning machines and everything that's necessary to do that is going to be decreased. Are they going to get more customers as a result of this efficiency? Absolutely. Are they going to have to deal with as many government audits? Absolutely not. So there is going to be some substantial savings and some substantial return on investment And I'm not so sure that we could define that today, and I'm not so sure that was even necessary. But had they done that, this is where the KPIs were a means to an end with the ROI.
Which I think is a different, you know, look, you and I, because I've known you for a good number of years now, but you and I have been in the business pretty much since the beginning of public internet, since the beginning of the World Wide Web.
And so we've seen, have. I'm not that old.
Well, thanks. But but we've seen things change over the years. And, you know, say in 1999, for example, when you were talking to a client about return on investment, it might have been just a much more simplistic thing like, well, I want to sell widgets on my website. And if I can sell 15 widgets a month, then it'll pay X dollars a month in margin, and that'll cover my initial investment in creating the website. But that's a whole different planet at this point, isn't it?
It really is, and it's funny to hear you say that because we're still running into both on the vendor side, firms that still look at the internet as that it's an opportunity to sell more widgets and get more clients. That's, you know, they really preach that's the ultimate goal of the internet today, and unfortunately, because of that, that's what a lot of businesses still think. They still operate under the assumption that that's what the internet is about. What we have to realize, and what businesses, if there's one thing that I could get through to businesses, and I run into this every day, if they understood the cost, what has happened to the cost of application development and deployment over the last 8 years, and understanding that rather than have to go out and buy software from CompUSA or any of these software vendors, this off-the-shelf box software, and then kind of meld your business around that software, that nowadays the cost of application deployment has dropped pennies on the dollar of what it was in 98, 99. That now you really can afford to build an online application that's perfect for your business. And because you're leveraging the power of the internet, everybody can access it. Again, back to clients, to vendors, to partners, to prospects. Everybody can use it, and it's affordable nowadays. And it really is, I don't want to take away and say that the internet still is the best way to reach prospects. There's no question about it. It's the best way to sell products. It's the best way to enhance that relationship with your existing customers, to sell more services, more products. It's still the best way to do that by a mile. But I think it is so underutilized in the other areas that we've discussed of being able to build applications and systems that will meet the needs of everyone in your organization.
As opposed to just some overly simple part of your business. Because if you have a business that is in the business of selling widgets, it's not just that the widgets change hands. It's the distribution channel that it takes for you to get the widgets in your factory or from the factory to your warehouse. It's the way that those widgets are shipped, or they retail. And those background processes help determine margin on a much more meaningful level than, is the retail price $1.98 or $1.90?
Absolutely. And it goes back to understanding what your product is and understanding how you get your product into you and get your product out to your customer. We have a customer out in New Mexico, and they wanted to hire us to build a website so that they could, they needed a website. I mean, everybody else in their industry had a website, and they had a website. So we sat down with them, and we said, okay, what do you want? And they said, well, we do this, and we do this, and we do this. And the longer I spoke with them, we finally said, what is your product? What do you do? And the reality was they were in the people business. They were in the hiring business. And so they wanted to build this website that would allow the world to know a little bit more about what they did. But when you started looking at what their most expensive or their highest expense and what they really spent tons and tons of money on every single day, it was getting these resumes in, having people double data entry all these resumes into the system, and then they had to be transferred over into another HR management system, and then they faxed out the results of that, sent that out to the various different sites so the people could review. They would mark up those faxes, send them back in, and we just stopped right there and said, what is the site doing to make that process better? And they said, well, that's not really something a website would do for us. We're really looking more for the website just to be a brochure. We're not talking about a small company. We're talking about a $250, $300 million a year company. They did not understand that today, for a lot less than what they were spending on all of these internal systems. I know they had an SAP system in one location, and they had a JD Edwards system in another location. They were spending hundreds of thousands of dollars in maintaining the system. For about $50,000, we eliminated almost all of the double data. In fact, we did eliminate all of the double data entry, and we reduced the number of staff necessary to touch each resume by about four people, giving them a very specific and measurable return. In the end, the site was not even necessary because we saved them so much money and eased the process so much through that web application that, you know, and I think you are familiar with the site, the project I'm talking about. A year and a half later, we're now getting back around to the site because it became an afterthought.
I think in ending our first segment here, I'd like to kind of review, because these are really important issues that you've brought up, Tom, and it is really the future of this podcast, because we're not really talking about how to get listed in Google necessarily. Although I'm sure we'll have a podcast on search engine marketing at some point. But what we're talking about in the Web Strategies podcast is how to use the technology that's available to improve your business. That might be improving relationships. It might be selling more widgets. It's not going to be limited, though, to a certain narrow topic. I think it's more broadly about the business of business.
Absolutely. And if there was a thought that I would want to leave on that when we're talking about how to make business better, it is back to what we say. I mean, you'll hear me say it over and over and over again. It's about relationships. And is any application that we're planning to deploy on the web going to have at least three specific parties with whom we're going to improve relationships? If it needs to at least be our clients, or it at least needs to be our clients and our prospects and our employees, or our employees, our clients, and our vendors. I mean, you've got to come up with three. And if you can't define three groups with whom you're going to improve some relationships, then you need to go back to the drawing board on that web strategy.
I want to thank you very much. Tom Walker is the president of WebTex and the guest in the studio today. We've been talking about the business of business, the strategic web, and I guess the subtitle to today's episode would be KPI versus ROI. Tom, thanks so much.
Thank you.
So here we are, time for the Web Strategies Podcast Extra. This week, I wanted to offer you directions to get to what I think is one of the most remarkable resources on the internet. It's called iTunes U. What? Well, Apple describes it this way. iTunes U puts the power of the iTunes Store to work for colleges and universities, so users can easily search, download, and play course content just like they do music, movies, and TV shows. I know that seems a little dry to you, but I promise it can be really worth your while. Head and shoulders above the pack for my taste are three files that I found in iTunes U featuring author Thomas L. Friedman. And also, if you've not purchased the book, The World is Flat, you're really missing the picture of how and why the world is transforming into a global economy. The newest version of that, by the way, is World is Flat version 3.0. Great book, highly recommend it. But for free, you can do a power search for Friedman. You'll find those files. He has a great talk about The World is Flat and about his new book called Green is the New Red, White, and Blue. It is very worthwhile material. So go to iTunes, search for Thomas L. Friedman. That's F-R-I-E-D-M-A-N. Well, that's our show. We're wrapping up the very first Web Strategies podcast. I'm Tom Anthony. I wanted to remind you to please tell your friends, your colleagues, to go to iTunes and to offer a review of our program. What will happen is the more people who do that in iTunes, the higher our popularity ranking will be, and so more people will notice it. It would be a very great service to us. We really appreciate your interest. Thanks so much. And that's it. We'll see you next time out on the Web Strategies Podcast.